In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Gregory Palamas, in his teaching about this day, which we call New Sunday or Antipascha, is very concerned, it seems, about the creation of the world, because that's where he starts from. And his question is a very interesting one. He says that out of all the things that the Lord did, from the very first "let there be light" all the way through the 6 days of creation, when even man, who was to bear his image, was set upon the earth, at that same time, he never once mentions that those 6 days were called blessed or holy. It was only on the seventh day, when the Lord rested from all of his works, that St. Gregory says, and of course it's true, that this was called good, blessed, sacred, holy unto the Lord, the day that the Lord finally rested. And St. Gregory says, now what does this mean to us? Well, because since only the seventh day was considered to be holy, the Sabbath day, because the Lord entered into his rest, that is the day also that we begin to enter into his rest also. And it was also typified by the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, after his giving up of his soul at 3 p.m. on Friday afternoon, he also went down into Hades to preach to those that were there, that were held captive. But yet it's also considered a period of at least his bodily rest in the tomb at that point. But all of this, St. Gregory says, leads up to this very idea of the resurrection as being something so absolutely superior to everything else, to the 6 days of creation, to the seventh day, which was called holy. Yet his resurrection typifies all the Sundays of the rest of the year. There's not really any comparison, because Sunday being dedicated to the resurrection, of which this Sunday today will serve as a type, goes on throughout the year far more than any other commemorations of anything that we talk about. Of course, we speak of the cross on Wednesdays and Fridays every week of the year, practically. But even that pales in comparison to the idea of the resurrection being on Sunday. And of course, in the Lord's own providence, on this day, the day of his resurrection, which we celebrated last week, the Apostle Thomas was not present. We're not given any indication as to why he was gone. It doesn't say. All the disciples were scattered. We know that. They all ended up coming together, but where was Thomas? Was he perhaps still hidden? Had he not gotten the word that all of the disciples were going to be together on that one Sunday? We don't know. We just know that in the Lord's providence, he was gone. And of course, because of that, we have the very famous incident where he talks about not believing unless he puts his hand in the hand of the Lord and thrust his hand into the side of the Lord, that he's just simply not convinced. And because of this, he's often called Doubting Thomas, but that's not really a good moniker for him, because Thomas wasn't doubting. Thomas was a man of great faith. And perhaps he was simply expressing what all of the other apostles were already considering. They too were hardly bastions of faith and belief during this time. Peter had denied him 3 times. All of the other apostles departed and scattered and were scared and hiding, and only St. John the theologian was at the foot of the cross. So all of them had some difficulties in believing. It's also notable that the apostles were not the ones that the Lord first appeared to. Of course, we know that he was on the road to Emmaus with Luke and Cleopas. We know that he greeted Mary Magdalene. And we know also, according to St. Gregory, that it was the Mother of God who first saw him after the resurrection. And so the apostles were not high on the list, as it were, for those who were to be considered worthy of seeing the Lord right off the bat. Thomas then comes in, not having seen any of the apostles at all, and he begins to hear the stories, and he's just expressing things that they most likely had already been through, that they had confusion about it too. They didn't know what it meant. They didn't know that the Lord was physically going to arise, even though he had told them so many times. And it was very clear in his teachings, at least from hindsight, for us today. And so Thomas, when the Lord appears all of a sudden in the midst of them, and the Lord tells him that, "See, Thomas, I want you to feel my body where the wounds are. I want you to understand this. Don't be faithless, but believing." The Lord was not indicating that Thomas was the only faithless one. No, he could have said as much to all of the disciples. And in fact, he even mentioned to Peter that when you are recovered from your denial, to strengthen your brethren. So Thomas being late wasn't simply sort of set up by the Lord as being shown a doubter. No, instead, it was given to Thomas, and Thomas alone, out of all the disciples in all the passages of the gospel, is given the blessing to utter probably the most profound theological statement that we find in the gospels uttered by anyone, and that was, "My Lord and my God." If you listened to the Vespers last night, during the verses to "Lord, I've Cried," you heard that repeatedly. "My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God." The emphasis was not so much on Thomas being one who was an unbeliever, but as one who, coming to belief, was given this opportunity to understand in a very profound way, perhaps that none of the disciples did. He was chosen for this reason. It's curious because in much of the gospel, we hear a little bit about each one of the apostles at different times. We hear about Peter and Paul, of course, a lot of the time. But Thomas is not really prominent in all of this. But then, all of a sudden, for whatever the reason the Lord had in mind, Thomas is given the grace to enter in, to actually touch the body of Jesus, which Mary Magdalene was told not to do, and which then confesses this unbelievably profound statement, indicating that as representative perhaps of all the apostles standing in that room at that time, he was the one that gave that confession, that it was his Lord and God, that it was Jesus Christ in his person, divine and human, that had come back from the dead and was there to give all of them new life. I like to call him not Doubting Thomas, but Thomas the Faithful. Thomas, the one who absolutely knew for a certainty at that point who the Lord was, and of course in his subsequent life, as in most of the apostles, he goes and gives his life for the Lord in demonstration of this belief that he shows. So on this new Sunday, this Sunday that inaugurates the Sundays for the rest of the year, the bright, glorious resurrection of our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ, let us look to Thomas as an example of one who could show us who the Lord Jesus Christ is and how we should follow him for the rest of our lives. Amen.